Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Welcome back in on a Monday night. Watching some home run derby earlier, it was pretty fun to see them play the long ball, I guess. I don't watch a ton of baseball. So it was fun, you know. Who wants to see me hit some home diggers? Yeah, all right, let's go do it. So there's a couple of things I found on social media I wanted to share, and this hour is going to be fun too, because we're going to talk to Johnny Rabbit. He has an event tomorrow where he's going to be leading at the Missouri History Museum, talking about World War I in a really awesome presentation that starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. So I want him to tell you about that. And if you're interested in history, especially history local to St. Louis, this will be a really great event to go to. And we're going to talk to Steve Ewing with Steve's Hot Dogs, very popular hot dog outfit here with the band The Urge. Yeah, he had that big hit, some pretty big things there. And he came in. And since this month is National Hot Dog Month, and since we're coming up on National Hot Dog Day, which they celebrate on Friday, we welcomed him into the studio to talk America's favorite food. Would hot dogs be America's favorite food? Would that be burgers, pizza? I don't know what America's favorite food would be. Mike Anderson, what would, if you had to guess America's favorite food, would it be pizza? Like, if I had to guess one thing, hold on, let me pull you up here.
I think I'm good.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
I would think that burgers would come to mind first, but I would think if you polled people, most people would say pizza.
There's only one place that serves fast food hot dogs. It's Burger King. They're not that good. You can go to a gas station and get hot dogs.
Quick Trip has great hot dogs.
Yeah, they've been sitting on those rollers for about a year and just accumulating and sulking in their own, I don't know. I don't want to say
it the flavor.
It's what gives it the flavor, though. Now, the hot dogs that Steve Ewing brought in, these things were like thick. Didn't Ben save you a half a hot dog?
I don't know. I was going to ask where my hot dog is.
He didn't. He said he specifically saved you one.
Oh, wow.
He did not give it to you?
No.
Are you kidding?
I did not get a dirty dog.
Well, he brought in three hot dogs for us to try. And Ben and I had two, and we saved one. And he's like, I'm saving this for Mike Anderson. Are you serious? He didn't bring it back here.
No, he might give it to me later.
Okay, that's weird.
No, I didn't hear anything about it.
All right, so I did a video on Twitter about that too, which was kind of cool. So we're going to play that interview coming up because I always like learning about the local flavors and what a cool hot dog scene St. Louis has. In this case, I wanted to play something that was posted on Facebook yesterday. This was from Officer Ed Schulter. I believe that's how you say his name. I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'm Schulter. So he said, this is the sound of overnight St. Louis. It's 2:30 in the morning. He's wrapping up some of his paperwork, getting all the electronic things in line. And then he spoke to someone that looked like they were just about to get off their shift as well at 2:30 in the morning. And this is what happened. Do you want to take a wild guess? You think it's something good, something bad? It's something I think amazing.
So it's 2:30 in the morning and I've got my midnight shift worker who keeps me entertained throughout my shift. A lot of people don't know that when I'm typing a report, I hide on the other side and listen to you sing.
Yeah.
All the time.
You do?
No, I really do.
I never
do. So I'm over there pecking away on a report and I start laughing and I just put my windows down so I can hear you singing.
Okay.
But we all enjoy you. And so I wanted to hand the phone over to Carlos and it's all yours. Enjoy.
Okie dokie. Sorry about the uniform. My uniform shirt is dirty, so I'm wearing a plain T-shirt tonight.
I don't know where he works, but
he wasn't wearing his uniform
from work.
What can we do for America right now? What do I feel in my spirit? The Star Spangled Banner. How about that, Ed?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. You gonna help me background?
Or no, I'm not gonna help you background.
You're not gonna help me background. Okay, let's. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, who brought stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we were so gallantly streaming, and the Rockies' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. It's a good point. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Way to go.
There you go, Eddie. Look, he's clapping now. He don't want to be the background singer.
No, no, that wasn't me singing. Anyway.
I love Eddie. Eddie the best. He keep me cool. He keep us cool. Way to Eddie, Kimmy. He got us on live.
That's Officer
You guys
Eddie.
Have a good night.
Good night. Peace, America. Love everybody.
I'll see you later.
Stay
Thank
cool.
you.
Peace to everybody. Love everybody. The message there, singing the Star Spangled Banner. How beautiful is that? Well, that was lifted off of the police officer here in St. Louis. And I know I'm saying his name wrong. Officer Ed Schulter. And how cool is it that he even thought to do that? He says, you know, I normally park here and I catch you singing every once in a while. And it just is, it's one of the highlights of my night. To hear the live performance, that is wonderful. And I think that is what some of the aldermen have talked about here in St. Louis. What they want to do is have police officers get to know the people that live in the areas they patrol. They get to become a familiar face. They get to be that person that they can know on a first name basis. And when that happens, you start to build communities again. And I think that's the right way to do it. I know it's in the budget, the way they've talked about it. And I think it's a step in the right direction. So congrats on that. I do want to bring up a KMOX favorite, Johnny Rabbit. He has a World War I presentation tomorrow. You can learn a lot of what happened, historically speaking, here in St. Louis during that time. We get a preview of it coming up next, and that's on Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, KMOX.
Broadcasting from the KMOX Golden Oak Lending Studios. Golden Oak Lending, with fixed rates now in the twos. Ryan Recker, Overnight America, the two best things in your night on KMOX.
If you're ready to learn about St. Louis, especially during the World War I era, awesome event that's happening tomorrow, hosted by Johnny Rabbit, who joins us now on Overnight America. Thank you for coming on the show.
All right, thank you. This is a great honor to be on your show. This will be a first time for me, and it's nice of you to have an interest in history. And this is a great history, because it's not just about World War I of 100 years ago, but it's really based on what went on in St. Louis. The war wasn't here, but we sure supported it, the war, in so many ways, including at the time we were the fourth largest city in the United States. I don't know where you are right now, but we're maybe about 60th. And we had great industry, great business, and we supplied so many things for the war effort. And so we're going to cover that. We're going to cover women in World War I, because there was a great deal of change going on. Well, women's suffrage and so on, and they were about to get the right to vote. So there's so many things to cover. I'm really excited about it.
Wow. Well, especially with that, what's your role? You're going to be narrating the program? You're going to be hosting it, too?
Well, what I do is I produce the program, present the program, do a portion of their narration, and we'll also have a four-panel discussion. I'll moderate the panelists. The panelists are going to be Gwen Moore of the Missouri History Museum. She's a very interesting person. She's going to be talking about something else that didn't directly relate to the war, but really was indirectly related to it. It was the huge race riot in East St. Louis. That was on July 2nd of 1917. And how that riot came about, and it really did tie in with work and with unions and jobs being taken and so on. It was a terrible event and probably the worst riot, at least in the 20th century in the United States.
I was reading a little rundown of what's going to be happening. So the Democratic Political Convention happened here in 1916, followed by the National Socialist Convention in 1917.
Yep, that's it. The Democratic Convention, it was the re-election of Woodrow Wilson. And I guess the interesting thing is he was re-elected is that he kept us out of war, which he did at that time. But unfortunately, he couldn't keep us out more than a few months after he was installed in the presidency for the second time. Now, that was at the Coliseum, which is long gone. It was the big meeting hall of St. Louis at the time. And then the next year at the Planters Hotel, a smaller group, it was the Socialist Party. Now, this wasn't a presidential convention. They were here to try to stop the war. And unfortunately for them, their keynote address was made on April 7th of 1918. April 7th of 17. And the war actually started for the United States the day before, so they were a little late with their story.
Yeah, boy. Well, what about some of these rare photos? What kind of things have you guys found?
Photos galore. All of the photographs come from the Missouri History Museum Library and Archives. And a lot of people don't know where that is. It's at 225 South Skinker in the former United Hebrew Temple. It's on the west side of Skinker, right across from Forest Park, and it is open to the public at all times. But that's where all of these photos come from, and they are a collection that it's really hard to describe. It covers everything. It may be Woodrow Wilson at the Coliseum. It could be David R. Francis, who became from St. Louis, became the ambassador to Russia in 1916 and 1917. There would be war scenes as well, but most of it is things that were happening here, buildings that were being built here, because in that period of the war, not much was being built at the time because all of the monies and the supplies were going into the military, and a lot of this will be about the women as well, and how they conserved, and people wanted to conserve food, and how can they support the troops. I mean, as simple things as knitting and making gloves and so on. It really encompassed everything about everybody, and there was tremendous propaganda too, and a lot of these propaganda posters will be pictured in our images, and we show the images on a big theater-sized screen, so you don't have to squint and say, I can't see that. You can see them.
Your presentation starts at 10 o'clock. Where is this at?
Okay, it starts at 10, and the first half hour is strictly music. A guy named Bobby Schisler is going to be playing World War I music, and it's going to be at the Missouri History Museum, Jefferson Memorial Building, which is on Lindell at the foot of DeBolivar. So it's on the north side of Forest Park along Lindell, and I always recommend people parking on Lindell. It may be the easiest way to park. And it starts, as you said, at 10, and it's over at noon. And we're going to fill up that 2 hours with a lot of excitement.
Great. It sounds really very informative, especially when you want to learn more history about the city you live in St. Louis. Sure. Johnny Rabbit, best of luck and congrats on putting this together. And thank you for sharing it here with our audience on Overnight America.
Ryan, thank you. That was very nice of you. I hope you can make it.
You know, I want to bring him onto the show sometime in the future. I want to bring Mike Anderson back in. Sorry, Mike, I keep grabbing you here in the producer's booth. Before Overnight America, there was that awesome Jack Buck special. How awesome was that?
Yeah.
Talking about old-timers, man. Jack Buck, that special that Chris Raby hosted the last couple of hours, man, was that good. I want to hear that again. Like, it was so good, I want to sit down and listen to it again.
Yeah, that stuff never gets old.
He was just, what a remarkable broadcaster. Speeches into the Hall of Fame, interview with Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite part of that whole segment? If anyone here missed it, I tell you, next time it replays, we're going to have to preview it big time because it was excellent. What was your favorite part?
I love the interview with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
That or when Jonathan Winters is in the booth with him and he pretends that it's a washed-up MLB pitcher named Whip Willis. And Winters acts like this fictional Whip Willis. Washed up, retired pitcher.
I like all of that. The whole thing was excellent. What a historic, great career he had. And I tell you that the legacy lives on for him, even though he passed some years ago. Man, the legacy lives on. People still have him in his heart. It's just absolutely beautiful. I love the old historic thing. I think this week, too, because of the All-Star break with the Cardinals being off, I think they're replaying the last World Series. I saw on the schedule they're going to replay another one. 2011.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's coming up on Thursday, Wednesday, one of the days coming up. I have to double-check the schedule. But the replays of the World Series are awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones back, historically speaking, was it 82? The one where Jack Buck calls it, man, that was everything about it was just really great. So did you watch any of the Home Run Derby, by the way, in the studio?
I did. We did a draft in Sports Open Line.
Who won it?
I did. Well, Aaron Judge, who was my horse in the race.
Oh, you won!
I did.
So what do you get? Pat on the back?
I think it was a friendly gesture.
How many home runs did he hit?
They played like three rounds. So in the first round, the guy he was facing hit 22 and he thought he had no chance, but he ended up topping 22.
That's impressive.
And I think he had 11 in the final round to win.
Do people actually watch the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game for baseball?
Actually, the Home Run Derby's picked up some steam the last 4 years since they reformatted it.
Yeah.
And it kind of jazzed it up. And yeah, I think people really like it now. And I think the All-Star Game is probably the highest rated of any of the professional All-Star Games these days.
And then what's up with the softball? Why do they play softball? I was in there, and it's going to sound sexist for me to say this, but I was in the lobby, and I saw a girl come up, and she whacked it. I'm like, wait, is there professional female baseball that performs in the Home Run Derby? And then I realized they're playing a softball game after that.
Yeah, it's celebrities and retired MLB players.
Yeah. Softball. I can see you getting involved in a softball league with Chris Raby.
Oh, I'd do it. We were in Kyle McClellan's charity wiffle ball tournament last year.
Really?
And Mark Reardon was on our team.
No way. How'd Mark do?
He did good. I think he hit a dinger.
No way.
He did.
Wiffle ball?
He had just, I think him and his wife had just had their child, and I think he used his daddy strength to smack him.
No, that makes you tired and exhausted. The daddy strength pops in if there's something wrong with the kid. Then you get super dad powers. One of the areas I worked in was in Ohio, and there was someone that was associated with the radio station out there. It was also involved heavily in high schools. And in his backyard, he decided to build the greatest wiffle ball field in all of America. Let me tell you about, you tell me if you've ever seen a wiffle ball field this nice. So he has dugouts on each side. He's got a big, you know, like the chain link fence backdrop, okay? The field has dirt and grass, okay? He's got a pitcher's mound. Fencing goes all the way back. He's got foul posts. And on the left-hand side, like in Boston, it's a higher wall on the left-hand of the field. He's got bench seating in the back. He actual seating in the back.
Right.
Now, here's the two things that separate him from everyone else, because that's just a really cool setup.
Scoreboard.
No, he has a scoreboard. That's three things. He has a scoreboard. I forgot about that. An electronic scoreboard.
No way.
Yeah.
Electronic.
Electronic scoreboard. And a lot of these things, because he was associated with the high school, he would buy these things when they were like selling them in auction, and he would just put it on his wiffle ball field and kept growing. So here's the things that really separated him from everywhere else. He had lighting so they can play at night. So they had the big flood lighting on each side of the field. And to really top it off, he had in-ground sprinkler system put in so the grass was always green.
Oh, baby.
Now, that was a wiffle ball field like I've ever seen one.
I would have lived there if I was a kid.
Well, that's what all the kids in the neighborhood did. I mean, he said he would have 100 neighborhood kids come and play every night during the summer.
I bet.
He would go out there and pitch, you know, 100, 200 pitches until his arm gave out, and then, you know, someone else would have to take over. The kids would just nonstop play. They would pick up their teams. He would just go out there, pitch to them, and they would all have their fun. And it was a nice, safe area for the place for all the kids to go to. The parents would come watch if they wanted to. And it was magical. It was absolutely magical. I don't know if he still maintains it. This was a decade ago. He has to. It was one of the coolest things, one of the little known things in the city that everyone had to at least try one time. I played there once, and it was like I was in the big leagues. It felt so awesome. Okay, so I do want to join someone coming up here in just a couple minutes. I interviewed Steve Ewing from Steve's Hot Dogs. Been around for a while. You may remember him. He's very popular in the music scene around here. And what's cool about his hot dogs is, man, they are some fancy, awesome hot dogs. But this month is Hot Dog Month. National Hot Dog Day is coming up. He's going to celebrate it on Friday. I wanted him to come in and talk about the food scene here in St. Louis and get to know a little bit more about that. Up next on Overnight America Camo X.
Budweiser and Camo X present the Llewellyn Stumble. Enjoy food and drink specials and Budweiser giveaways, the ball game, and make sure you register to win a trip to Kansas City at each watch party. The next one is tomorrow at Llewellyn's Pub in Webster Groves. Winners will receive a round-trip Amtrak ticket to KC for a pregame party at Llewellyn's Pub Lee Summit. Take in a ball game and stay overnight at a Drury Inn and Suites. Presented by VisitKC.com, Llewellyn's Pub, Drury Hotels, and New Ball Toyota. You'll be sold on Newbold. St. Louis's drive time traffic every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
I'll tell you, there's nothing like sitting down eating a hot dog. And our producer Ben, who takes over after midnight, said, you got to meet this guy, Steve Ewing. Lead singer of The Urge. Apparently, he had a top 10 hit on Billboard. Jump right in. Never heard it. I listened to it just for the first time today. But I can tell you that he is a lot more interesting than, because I didn't know his music. I know he's popular here, but how was I supposed to know? When did that hit? Was that in 98, something like that? So he scored a top 10 hit, which is really cool. Opened up a hot dog shop here in St. Louis. And is making these really awesome, awesome hot dog inventions. So he came in earlier today, and I wanted to talk to him about the hot dog scene. Let's welcome in Steve Ewing, owner of Steve's Hot Dogs, to Camo X. Very happy to have you in here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Holding a magazine, the Must Try on Feast Magazine, which is, this is a legit magazine here. Look at that hot dog, man. That's a good-looking hot dog. That's the, which one is this, the backyard barbecue dog?
That's the backyard barbecue dog.
That's a good-looking hot dog.
Thank you very much.
You make a lot of very good hot dogs, really. So how many different hot dogs you guys make at Steve's Hot Dogs?
There's at least 20 that are on the menu.
Yeah.
And then there's some off-menu stuff, you know, like some regional things that we can make if you ask us to do it.
The secret menu.
Yep. So if you, you know, like if you are from Seattle and say, can you make a Seattle dog? We can. We know how to do that.
So you have to train people on different, just in case someone asks it.
Exactly, yeah.
Does that happen often? Someone comes
in? Once in a while, someone be like, man, I'm from Seattle. Can you guys hook that up? I'm like, yeah.
The different region dogs, yeah.
Yeah, every region has their own dog, yeah.
What makes St. Louis a good hot dog, like, area?
I don't know. We're kind of a, you know, I don't know how to put it. We love Americana. We love our food like that. We like barbecue. We like hot dogs. We like hamburgers. Mm-hmm. We like shakes. We love all that stuff, whatever. Yeah. So,
you got a great logo, too, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm impressed you came in, logo, shirt, and everything. You know what you're doing. You're very good about that. So what really came first was your music career? Is that what came first?
Yeah, so we've been doing The Urge since 1987. Yeah, so
that's been going back.
It's a while ago. Yeah.
So you can continue to do music. Why did you start into the hot dog business?
I was looking for a second business. I still perform a lot with the Steve Ewing Band and with The Urge, and I was just looking to put together another business, another stream of income. And I really was impressed with what some folks were doing in other cities with mobile food.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought the hot dog thing was really cool. The hot dog concept was cool. So I started doing mobile with the hot dog cart.
Yeah.
And then I really wanted to expand into doing some crazy stuff like a backyard barbecue dog.
Uh-huh.
So I decided I needed to open a shop.
Yeah.
So I could have a kitchen and space and all that stuff. So
you get to experiment. That's part of the fun of it all.
Yeah.
Because I've seen your board. You guys offer a lot of awesome sounding hot dogs.
There's tons of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. There's just about anything you can get there. Is there a wrong way to make a hot dog?
There is not.
Yeah.
There, in my opinion, there's not a wrong way. If you go to Chicago, they might tell you it's the wrong way. They'll tell you like which order you should put the mustard, to get, you know, no ketchup, but the pickles, the onions, and all that kind of stuff.
Chicago, they tell you that, yeah.
Yeah, here, I mean, that's what I love about here and what I love about what we do is that there's no wrong way to do it. We come up with recipes that we put together, but a lot of times people just come up and say, you know, I want this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have so much to pick from that they can actually put together their own dog.
Yeah. It's National Hot Dog Day coming up.
Yep.
That's a big day for you guys.
It's huge, yeah.
So tell me about the preparations that go into a day like that.
We basically are staffed like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our sixth time doing it. Mm-hmm. This is our sixth year doing National Hot Dog Day, and it's just insanity. We do half off all the hot dogs, so people just kind of come out of the woodworks, and it's crazy.
Wow.
At both shops. Yeah. So
it's this Friday.
It's this Friday,
July 14th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's big.
It's big. Yeah.
How many hot dogs do you sell in a day like that?
Oh, I don't know.
A lot.
It's like a couple thousand between the two shops.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
A lot, yeah.
But these are all, these are all like your full menu you're selling, right?
Yes. We used to just use the Chicago to try to, you know, make it so we could actually get everything out as quickly as possible. But then we decided to offer the entire menu at half off. And I think when people come for it, they're coming for a half off, but they also want to like take that opportunity to try something that they see on Instagram or something, and it's like, oh, well, it's half off. Let's go try it. So I want them to be able to try everything. Mm-hmm. You know.
Steve's Hot Dogs, you have a couple different locations. In fact, you did like a crowdfunding on Indiegogo, and you actually opened another location that way. How awesome is that to feel the support of a community that wants you there?
That was huge.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to, you know, pretty much be fighting tooth and nail to like raise this money. And don't get me wrong, it was a lot of work, but I mean, that community came together. So the Tower Grove East, Tower Grove South, pretty much all the South Side just came together really and pitched in one way or the other, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and now you guys are there. How's that location doing?
That was great. It's it's right next door to a place called the TikTok Tavern, and it's a little old bar from like the 60s, whatever. And we cut a hole in it so you can go back and forth between the restaurant and the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really cool vibe in there. It's fun.
So National Hot Dog Day, you're celebrating it this Friday, the 14th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a coalition of hot dog people. What was the thing you guys are in?
Yeah, it's the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
Council, yeah.
And what they do is they set the date every year, and it changes every year. But they sometimes can set the date late.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to try to get the word out of like a little earlier. So what we found is if we like to set it on that Friday beforehand, or if it, you know, it's weird or something, we might set it on the Friday after.
Yeah.
But it's I think Fridays are good for us, you know, so.
The council lumps in sausage in there. Should hot dogs be in its own category?
Yes, they should.
Yeah.
They should.
What do you love most about hot dogs?
I mean, they taste great, for one.
Yes.
But they're mobile. They're like, they're easy to move around.
Mm-hmm.
Packaging wise, they're easy. You know, so with ours, we put a lot more effort into, you know, preparing them with the smoke, the cherry smoke, and the high temperature grill and everything. But they're still mobile. So when we package them up and we send them out for delivery, they come. They're still hot.
There's a lot of kids that love hot dogs too. It's like one of those foods that you can enjoy throughout your entire life.
Yes.
Like, my kid loves hot dogs. There's not a lot of things my kids love. He loves hot dogs, though. You know, you cut them up, you heat some, you dip some in some ketchup.
Yep.
Loves it. What's the next thing for you guys? Because you're in the community, you're serving up these hot dogs. Are you always coming up with, like, the next idea? Or is there a laboratory for you guys when it comes to making hot dogs?
Always. Yeah, we're always coming up with stuff. So every week we have a special.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically a new invention. So every week we get together and say, what are we going to do? You know, and let's try to put these flavors together. And what's cool is we can always look to some of the other restaurants in St. Louis that are being creative and maybe like add some of what they're doing to our recipes. We do a lot of collaborations like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, St. Louis it's become really the foodie town. So there's a lot, you know, to look at. Recipe-wise, so it's a lot going on.
Foodie, so people are getting sophisticated, too, when it comes
here
to their taste.
Here in St. Louis, big time, yeah.
Yeah, so are you afraid that one day you'll offend someone, they'll say, how dare you make a hot dog like this?
I think I may have offended some people already, you know.
All right, well, I want to air a little bit more of this interview coming up, because we're getting close to National Hot Dog Day, which means my hot dog consumption will be through the roof. If you were to look at a bell curve, it would be reaching its peak coming up towards the end of the week. So we'll be joined by Steve Ewing, owner of Steve's Hot Dogs. It's really cool, the things he's doing. And by the way, they this is not like a sponsored interview or anything, but they do free delivery, which I found out. And I know our producer in the afternoon, Ben, after midnight, uses that service a lot. And I also know that when he does get hot dogs delivered, he promises to give some to Mike Anderson, but never does. I found these things out, too. So part two of the interview coming up next. Overnight America, KMOX.
When the governor of Missouri comes to St. Louis,
Governor Greitens was here to talk about fighting crime.
You'll hear about it from KMOX News.
This is a task force that's focused on reducing violence by targeting the most violent offenders. It's a model that's reduced violence in major American cities.
And who goes one-on-one with the governor when you need to know more?
Governor Greitens, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. Great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Obviously, this is an issue you've been...
Your news,
about.
Your talk. We've got it covered on News Radio 1120. KMOX. It's All-Star Game Break Week, and the Cards are off until Friday when they take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're your home for the best Cardinals coverage. KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm Ryan Recker. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Yeah, I'm going to play that later. Why not? So here's Steve Ewing came in, and I thought it was pretty neat. Someone that's very well respected and in the area. I know that our producer, Mike Anderson, has Jump Right In as one of his favorite songs on his iPad. In fact, when he goes out and works upstairs, he listens to that song on a loop. You go running. A song like that would be a good workout song, Mike Anderson, wouldn't it? Jump Right In.
Yeah, it's a great song. They got a couple bangers. They play them at blues games a lot.
And, yeah.
They're on the point all the time.
Bangers?
Yeah. They were a great band.
So bangers mean...
I can't believe you hadn't heard of them.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I haven't. But
especially since you're so much older than me, you would have been more of age.
Yeah, in the 90s. In the 90s, I was listening to like Nirvana and Soundgarden and all that. So that was a different music scene. But if you pop that on and you start working out to it, that's like a good workout.
Yeah.
You can get going to something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we had him in studio, owner of Steve's Hot Dog, Steve Ewing, and was curious, though, how many locations do you guys work out of?
We have the two.
Yeah.
We have a satellite that was at the Pageant and ITAP for a little while.
Yeah.
But we've pulled them. It's become a little bit difficult to run the three right now with the staffing we have. So right now we're just sticking to the two brick and mortar, the hard locations that we have.
Are you doing some food trucks, too?
That's in the future, yeah.
Yes. People love food trucks around here,
they
as
do.
I found out.
They do. I kind of wanted to wait to see how it would grow in St. Louis because it was already a big thing in some of the other major cities.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see how it grew in St. Louis, and it's been pretty stable. So
Steve's Hot Dogs and our producer, Ben, said you guys deliver.
We do.
Which is kind of neat.
Yes.
You get a lot of delivery takeout orders?
Quite a few. When we opened 6 years ago, I'm like, we're going to deliver hot dogs. And everyone's like, what? And so it was rough getting going. But then, at our Tower Grove location, which is open till 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock on the weekends.
Yeah.
We do 40% of our business is delivery, you know.
So, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge.
So it's just, it's become, once people get to know it, it's like, oh, we can get hot dogs delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mac and cheese and all the chili and everything else that, you know, comes along with it. They can get all that delivered.
Yeah. When you look at a magazine like this, which you guys are featured in here, here's Feast Magazine. This one just came out July of 2017. They have all these other hot dogs listed by you. When you see something like this, you're like, do you look at that? Do you judge other hot dogs? Like, well,
you know
what?
I'm not like judgmental. As long as like somebody puts effort into it.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it's quality, like from start to finish. So perfect bun, perfect dog, perfect toppings, perfect everything.
The Backyard Barbecue Dog, a smoked hot dog topped with tangy baked beans, fresh potato salad, bacon, and barbecue sauce. What an awesome combination.
It works.
It's like I love
that
combo.
The whole picnic in your mouth.
No kidding. What a great collaboration of flavors for something like that. And a really nice write-up. So as someone that was in music, The Urge, traveled a lot. Did you get to try different food from all other locations?
All over. I mean,
yeah. So you kind of get a nice idea of what the flavors are like when you're traveling.
Big time.
Yeah.
New Orleans was a big one for me. Way back in the day, it was a treat to get one of those street dogs in New Orleans. You know what I mean? So that kind of, and Chicago as well. So I mean, late at night in Chicago, you can get pretty much anything you want on the street. And we were there quite a bit. You know,
yeah.
So that was influencing, you know, to me. So.
So your band toured with 311 Korn and Incubus.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. What type of food would you see backstage normally at concerts? Would you find hot dogs there?
You probably, I mean, unless somebody went and got some hot dogs or if there was a vendor out. But you'd find, you know, kind of like your regular catering fare.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have
cheese plates and stuff.
It'd be like, you know, veggie plates, pasta. Yeah. Stuff like that, you know, nothing crazy. You have to go get your own stuff, which to me is the cool thing about traveling is you go out and you find your own food, you know.
Yeah.
There's so much cool stuff out there.
Some really cool ideas. You've been featured in a lot of different magazines. Does it ever get old? You're like, yeah,
I
get it. No.
Because we're always trying to elevate.
Yeah.
You know, and we're always trying to be surprising, you know, have something that you want to continuously talk about. So, no way. It's awesome.
So, what's the, when you sit down and you go through the creative process, do you say, nothing's a bad idea, just throw it out, whatever you'd want on a hot dog? I mean, can you ever run out of ideas? There seems like there's endless combinations you can.
There is endless combinations. That's like once you have that perfect piece of meat, mm-hmm. once you have it smoked right and grilled right, you have a great base flavor-wise, and so you can kind of go crazy with it, you know.
Do you ever have those moments of inspiration? You're just doing something, you're like, I got to write that down. That would make a great hot dog.
All the time. It's usually in my phone, or I'll start talking to myself, yeah.
Who designed your logo, Steve's Hot Dogs?
I had a friend of mine, Karen. She's a St. Louis native, but she's in Chicago now. But
excellent job on that logo, by the way.
She knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
She killed it.
Cool. So people are, on Friday, it's coming up on National Hot Dog Day. You're celebrating on Friday, the 14th. It's just coming up later this week.
Right.
What are the hours and where can people go to celebrate this?
On our Hill location, which is at 2131 Marconi, it's open from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Okay.
Actually, till 4 p.m. on Friday. And then you can go right on over to our Tower Grove East location, which is at 3457 Magnolia. That one's open from 4 p.m. until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Yep.
How fun is that? You can say, you know what? I haven't gone and got a hot dog in a while. Let's go do that.
Yes.
That would be the time to do it.
That's the time. That's why we do it every year, because it's like, oh, well, I haven't had one in a while. You know, they're half off, and it's going to be in like a, you know, festive, you know, kind of environment. So.
Yeah, and it's the summer, and you're thinking about things to do, and it's the weekend, and you're like, man, that does sound like fun.
Uh-huh.
Go get a hot dog.
Uh-huh.
Go to Steve's Hot Dogs, man. Steve Ewing, thank you for coming in today.
Oh, you got it, man. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. In fact, he later had someone deliver. Let me tell you about this barbecue dog he brought in. It was a hot dog. The thing was like, we're not talking like these little skinny hot dogs. We're talking about like these big, thick hot dogs that you would, almost like a sausage. And on top, it was barbecue sauce, baked beans, and potato salad. It was so good. Then he had another hot dog. It was peppers and bacon and onions. That was the something dog. I can't remember. And then the other dog he brought in was your pretty standard hot dog with mac and cheese on top. Now that was pretty good too, but my favorite was that barbecue dog. Mm-mm-mm. All right, I seem like I'm pitching them pretty hard right now. Lots to talk with. I mean, there's so much to go over in Overnight America. In fact, you can follow along. I did a video earlier taste testing those if you follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker, or you can go back and just watch it now. I'm going to try my best not to spend a lot of time on the computer. It is Amazon Prime Day where you get all the deals on Amazon, which I've been, if you don't know about that, Amazon once a year does this big sale thing. So yeah, you're going to see a lot of people tomorrow. If you work in an office setting, they're going to be on the computer and they're going to have Amazon.com up and be able to do one of those things. Well, if it wasn't tempting enough, I got more things to tempt you with coming up. A lot of protests going on in St. Louis, one of which over the minimum wage when the governor was in town. Some audio from that. Chris Christie auditioning for a radio gig. Kind of, not really. I don't think he's going to get it. but I have some audio from that. Callers were not giving them a pass, man. This is great. All of these things you can find, too, in Overnight America. This is what we do here. We have fun. We'll open the phone lines for you as well on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.